I got trapped in a hell realm. And to her credit, Mushoku rode this one out with me. There were times when I thought she was going to cry, but she didn't. She stayed right there with me. And what is this hell realm that I walked myself into? It has to do with the dojo, with the development there of the way the contractor has worked. And I began to develop, see, anger and bitterness about what was going on. See, that this contractor was not living up to his obligations. He wasn't living up to the actual contract that was signed. See, and what was to be a 2 to 3 week journey has ended up almost 9 weeks. See, and additional money. And I was angry and I was seething. See, I was righteously indignant because of what this person had done, what this person had misrepresented. See, and I was after her. I said, you get contact with the state licensing board. You get this, we're going to write him up. He won't like this because they take it seriously. And you get on Yelp. And anybody who would listen to me, I would dump on them. Domon caught it. Ryozen caught it. See? And I'm then not wanting to hurt Ento because he comes through sort of the references of where she works. So I'm trying to be very subtle. I'm saying things. Did you send him a check? Yes. See, and I'm going through all of these things. And last night, Mushoku is sitting there with me. She finally downloaded a thing from the state. But I'm tired. I have really been working for the last 3 days. I've been putting in up to 10 hours a day. And the night before last, I slept good last night. The night before last, I woke in the middle of the night. I'm getting up at 2:33. My muscles are cramping and going to locks. I'm exhausted. Too much work. See. Too hard trying to pull this around before we get to our wonderful training period. So last night, and Mushoku would try to say, you look tired. Shut up. Do you want to go home? Do you understand what this person did? See? And then I finally looked at her and I could see the resistance to doing all this. I said, you're resisting this. What do you suggest? How do we protect other people? See? But she hangs in there. See, I wish I could pull her out further because she actually knows what this is all about. See, and I went to bed last night. See, and my practice started to work. See, and all of this, and some of you have probably been following me a little bit. See, and we'll get into it with this book. See, there isn't a problem with the contractor. Did he run over? The 2 to 3 weeks? Sure. Has he asked for additional money? Sure. Have I ever set up the boundaries for him? No. Did I ever challenge him on it? No. I simply, in my head, made up a storyline. I made up something, and I was justified. 3 weeks is not nearly 9 weeks. I was justified. See? He asked for more money. I was justified. Am I going to have to finish his work? Yes. But what is my universe? What is my universe? See? I never challenged him on anything. I never told him that these are parameters. See, I never, questioned what he was doing. I allowed him to run. See, and then I started making up this stuff in my own mind. I did not see the reality of where I stand. See, this deep state of samadhi. We have a beautiful place back there. If you haven't seen it, you have to go look. That's reality. See, that's the existential reality of now. This beautiful place there. All of this other stuff is me running around in my mind. I don't have to run around in my mind. I can simply wipe that away. Where am I? I'm here. Do you see where you are? Are you carrying junk around in your mind? And Mushoku stayed right in there with me until I started to come out, see, of what appears to be a solid, validated view of this. See, and it was all my delusional thinking. Some of you won't get it. You'll say, well, he did run over. See, you don't get it. You're still in your delusional thinking. Run over from where? How do you run over from here? You can't. See, you can't run over from here. And then once you see that, I was in a hell. Once I saw that, whew, what relief. But of course, I couldn't share that with Mushoku. See, I had to kick her around and say, you are unkind to an old person. You're supposed to be the specialist in this area in geriatrics. See, how did you treat me? See, I still wanted to get a little edge there. See, but again, I deeply appreciate this is what a Jisha should do. See, and I think, you know, one of the my hopes is that Hoso will eventually find a Jisha just like that. See, you need somebody that's willing to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Are you surprised that I can do that, Ishin? All right. Let's move on now into this. And for some of you, I have recommended the book that speaks squarely to this manner of delusion. See, and the book is The End of Suffering, Fearless Living in Troubled Times. See, and he has a little, see, how to get out of hell free. See, for some of you, how to get out of hell free. We have a few people here who don't want to get out free. They want to pay heavy duty dues. See. But in this, see, it's written by Russell Targ and J.J. Hurtick. I know a little bit about Russell Targ. I know virtually nothing about J.J. Hurtick, other than I think he's a writer and explores spiritual kinds of topics. See? But Russell Targ is a fascinating man. He is a physicist, and he is a quality physicist. And he knows something about suffering. And some of you have heard me talk in the last week or two and where I was talking about a book that Dossie and Ishin actually talked about, The One Mind, which if you're in, and again, for some of you who have no interest in reading, that's fine. See, these are simply pointing fingers. These are little interesting asides that I find as sort of a relief. See? And we started, it was earlier this, I suspect that Doman and Anto can remember earlier on where I was probably bringing up, because I've been fascinated with, yeah, what the bleep do we know, I think, was at one of the times that I got into this. But that I have been really interested in scientific thought. And always I've been amazed that they didn't seem to be able to make that evolutionary jump. See, classical physics says trapped in dualistic thought. And he'll point that out and we'll try to walk through this. Now, my reading and the way I do read, I was always a fast reader. I don't spend too much time trying to commit anything to memory. If there's some things that I find particularly interesting, it's for me an overall flow. Now, Russell Targ, it was an interesting thing. Russell Targ actually started the program for remote viewing at this. And this is quite remarkable. And it was started during the Cold War. And some remarkable things have occurred. Now, again, through this book, just like with Tom Campbell, don't start getting trapped in extraordinary powers or extraordinary activities. The Siddhas, Dean Radin, and they quote, they all these people all know themselves. But this is an evolving science that has moved beyond the classical physics. And they are beginning, see, to see in a most amazing way. Now, one of the interesting parts is that all of them, see, have been scrupulous in staying away from religion or Buddhism. See, and I don't want to use religion because this is a denial of what they're talking about, except for Russell Targ. He's going to start out telling you the way out, see, the secret that the Buddha gave, the Four Noble Truths. and you want to walk the path to free yourself from suffering, he gives you the eightfold path. See, has no hesitation bringing up Buddha, Buddha, Dharma, Dharma, Buddha, Buddha, Dharma, Dharma, from this physicist who knows something about pain. See, he knows something about pain. See, his daughter, who was, this is the first time I found out about him, was with Dossie's book. Dossie knew his daughter, who died at the age of 40. And she was supposedly brilliant and gifted. And this was Dossie's evaluation. See, she was a doctor, a spiritual healer, and an amazing researcher. See, and Russell Targ, in his, just the little brief I was talking with Homi on this, refers to her as his buddy in research. But what an amazing tribute from a dad, a buddy in research. She died at 40. He knows something about pain. See, absolute pain. He knows something about it. And part of what he's done here is to try to give us all a pathway, a direction that we can follow to begin to free ourselves, see, from the snares of the samsaric world of pain and suffering. Samsara always ends in suffering. So as I was taking Soko out yesterday, I mentioned, just mentioned, because I want her to feel current. I want her to be aware of the cutting edge of science. So I said, darling, have you ever heard of Russell Targ? She said, oh yeah, that's old news. I said, old news? Oh, she said, oh yeah, and you do know that he is a Dzogchen practitioner in Tibetan Buddhism. I said, oh? She said, yes. I was listening to him a long time ago. So here again, little Soko is so far in front of me, it's like I'm just catching up to her. See, now in the beginning of this book, and often I'll refer to Targ or Russell, because I don't know her tech, but they wrote the book together, the co-authors. See, in the beginning of the book, he points out that everyone suffers, and most of the suffering is unnecessary. Now this is a physicist, see, who's done, as Amujo looked him up, has done a lot of heavy lifting in the field of physics, not just in this remote viewing and this spiritual journey. One of the things that I found rather fascinating, he's legally blind and he rides a motorcycle. See, which makes him a rather interesting character to start with. Tom Campbell rode a motorcycle too as a physicist, so I don't know whether there's some sort of a, you know, a genetic thing that causes them to want to ride motorcycles or not. See, everyone suffers and most of the suffering is unnecessary. Our suffering results from our delusional cultural conditioning, which is created by our families, our schools, the television, see? And this is where we develop the erroneous ideas as to who we think we are, see? And in this self-image, we can have a poor self-image or an exaggerated sense of our self-importance. See, and you've heard me talk about this before. I have found the practice of Buddha Dharma, and particularly the way Mazumi Roshi approached it, see, he could very easily, see, raise those with a poor self-image. And you could see a transformation. I never saw him work successfully with this inflated sense of self. And that is an absolute anathema to Buddha Dharma. See, Buddhism, and the Buddha himself talked about this, Buddhism is not the cult of personality. See, it is simply a way to free ourselves from suffering. And Targ, see, he will talk about that. He will use Buddhist text because he's going to be talking about, see, the Mariamika, see, Nagarjuna, see, which is called the middle way of the Mahayana. The Dalai Lama refers to Nagarjuna, see, as one of the very few truly enlightened masters of the way, historically. Many of the scholars consider his realization second to Shakyamuni Buddha. See, we also have them saying the same thing about Joshu. See, I don't know how they come up with these things. Certainly, I can't come up with it. But it's very clear. Now, the moment I started to read this book and I found this pointing finger in the book of One Mind, see, so I went up to my bookshelf and I have the large work of Nagarjuna, see, and I pulled it down, and it's a pretty heavy kind of a material to move through. And I actually talked on this some years ago. I opened the book, and I had put a bookmark in there with the date, and it was 2005. And I'm assuming that most of you remember what I was talking about then. So we can skip over those parts. I don't remember, but I was trying to talk at that time on this, see. Again, understand, and he will tell you, even though he himself is a practitioner of Dzogchen Buddhism, see, and for some of you who've heard this, I worked with a Dzogchen master, Lama Wangdor, and I could not tell you where the difference between Lama Wangdor and Mazumi Roshi was. See, after we left his first talk, I was with one of Roshi's monks, Koren, who traveled with me. Koren was one of the first who helped us establish this center right here. See, as we were walking away, Koren turns to me and says, "Nyogen, where have we heard this before?" And it was like sitting with Mazumi Roshi. In the true expounding of the way, there is no difference. The variation comes, see, simply from the coloration. See, the adorning. See, out of a Tibetan tradition, see, or out of a Japanese tradition, translating the Chinese tradition of Chan. See, and it's just coloration. It isn't the substance. See, and again, it is to free ourselves from the egocentric mind. This can be done. And the authors go on to say, unless we happen to be, this, he's actually making this statement, unless we happen to be in a concentration camp. Think about this. Unless you're in a concentration camp, and think about what I was talking about, where I've been for a couple of days, see, in all of this hell realm, in my head, not the dojo. The dojo's beautiful. Those of you who have seen it, see, they came over last night, was it? Yeah, 6 o'clock, and Hogan and Ryozen and Shindai and Domon, they put everything, we got everything back in. It's all set up. We've got two of the beds already in, which is going to be ready for the summer. See, that's the reality. See, what he calls the existential reality of now. That's the reality. All of this other stuff was in my head. Now, more importantly, remember, it's your head that you're constantly looking at. See? And so long as you're up in here, see, blinded behind your eyeballs, you are not dealing with reality. You are dealing with the slights, the anger, the disappointments, the rejections. You are in a total state of delusion. And then what did I do? I projected out. See, I projected out. See, then I threw stuff out at my Jisha. See, and I adore her. See, and she has done so much for this center and for me and for Soko. See, and then what did I do? I started to get mean. I almost said, "Is it time for you to go home?" I know that wounds her. See, I see her face. See, but she didn't take the bait. She's a much better student than I am. See, she just sat there and let me ventilate. See, ventilate. And see, by morning time, I was willing to apologize. And let me tell you something. What a relief it is to come out of a hell realm. See, I haven't been in a hell realm like that for years. See, now I can walk around. I'm free in my mandala. Do you see? You have to free yourself. See, you cannot hold on to any conceptualization as to what you think it is. See, he says, unless we happen to be in a concentration camp, our suffering almost always arises from a time frame, not of the present. Do you get that? I wasn't, see, in the present. I was contract not met. This wasn't agreed upon. All I had to do was look around here. Where was the trouble? There was no trouble. I was making it up in my mind. And some of you still won't get it. You say, well, he didn't. No, that's why we have samsara. Now what you can do is to get him, send a drone. Send a drone and blow his ass up someplace. See, if you don't get it. See, our suffering almost arises, look at this carefully, almost always arises from a time frame not of the present. It's not an existential reality. You're making stuff up. Now, if you're not in a concentration camp, or a daughter you adored has just died, there's real pain. He's not making that up. See, that's pain. Real pain. And he's going to say that even there, we have to walk ourselves out. Can be done. Nobody can do it for you. See? And he goes on to talk about that in the end. If you think somebody out there can do something for you, the most that can be done is that somebody like myself, see, can simply say, there is a roadmap. I can tell you about my experiences. They're not particularly interesting. 45 years of them. And I still managed to get myself caught in a hell realm. And I had watched my Izumi Roshi tumble. I had watched him immediately get caught. But his genius was that he could come back within a blink of a second. I've told you about my experience with him. When I tumbled, I went into Roshi. I had formally committed everything, completed everything. See, I was a transmission holder. See, a full transmission holder. See, and I tumbled over something that was silly. Two people wanted me to take on the role of a teacher. I did not want that. Do you see? Something out here I internalized. What did it mean to me? Not what they were talking about. I allowed then the center, based upon my own conditioned thinking, to begin to spin me. And then I was lashing out. And I went to Roshi. I said, oh, God, and I was so disappointed. Oh, Roshi, I tumbled. He screamed, cut it. And I'm right here. And he said, we all tumble. That's not the point. How quickly do you come back to center? See, this center, see, this is what he's referring to here as this existential reality. He said, we carry memories of our anger, our guilt, and especially our resentment toward people who have mistreated or betrayed us. Did the contractor do that to me? Absolutely. In my imagination. See? If there would have been an existential moment where I drew a line in the sand and he crossed it, then we could deal with that. Where? In the now. But none of this. I was making it all up. You don't get it if you don't see. This is the only time. There is no time frame here. How is my life now, in this moment? If I can live it in a state of samadhi, freed from all dualistic thinking, it becomes beautiful. And that's what I experienced this morning. I also did a lot of zazen last night. That in particularly in the night, the clarity. See, I have no with tugs. And then you begin to settle. And you see the futility and the absurdity of our posturing. He said, we stay trapped in these thoughts and these senses of betrayal even long after those nasty people have departed or died. How many of you are still kicking somebody around who's dead? The author's recognizing that it is the limitations of human thought that causes us to needlessly suffer. Recognizing this, they have given us a book that deals with the actualization practice of Buddha Dharma as a way of freeing ourselves from the pain and suffering of samsara. Again, over and over, I have tried to bring in authors that I think would stimulate you, would shock you. See, and some of the times it works. Some of the times you simply stay trapped in your conditioned thinking. See, but most here, there's a wonderful turning that's going on. See, and I will tell you, it's happening also in the scorpion. Wonderful turning. See, and no longer do I even see a shadow of separation. It is one mandala. See, one mandala. Mushoku, the outpouring there, we've had to even put some of the people from Mexico on a waiting list. They want to come here. See, it's a wonderful thing. See, if you can actually begin to see what the path is and to begin to actualize the teaching of Buddha Dharma, has nothing whatsoever to do, see, with religious dogma or doctrine. See, and yet this is the raft we hold on to. They use the text of the second century genius Nagarjuna, who formulated a clarification of the Buddha's teaching. See, and he is considered, the founder of the Madhyamika, the middle way, of the Mahayana school. And here, listen to this. He found, and of the second century, he found that the early interpreters of Buddha's radical teaching remained caught in egocentric reasoning. See, and it's doubly true today. Doubly true today. And even within our Sangha, watch yourself carefully. See, egocentric. See, I stand out. See, that was me. This sore thumb. See, not even looking. See, Doman would come through, and Doman, I think, at least he's quieter when he gets into the angry places where I become very loud. See, and he would, I hear his little voice say, it looks pretty good. No, let me tell you about the devastation that's here. See, and then slowly the fogs, the cloud begins to open up. And I begin to see the beautiful place where I'm standing. I begin to see the wonder, of an amazing practice that's opening. See, so long as we keep caught in egocentric reasoning, and he said this about them, so long as you're trying to do this from the intellect, he said, they were fatally missing the essential teachings of Buddha's liberation. Fatally missing. If you stay stuck in an egocentric understanding, it's fatal. It's fatal. See? They go on to say, it is because of our ignorance that we suffer. Our ignorance. Right from the start, both Doman and Ento have heard me for years and years and years talking about the three poisons. You know? See, you wouldn't even get my understanding of the three poisons. See, greed, anger, and ignorance. Ignorance. What is ignorance? Let's see what they say. Ignorance is the illusion of separation between subject and object, from self and other. Isn't this what I have been saying? Ignorance is the sense that you are separate from the mandala that you inhabit. You are producing the artificial separation here. And quantum physics tells you that that is an illusion, an absolute illusion, a projection. See, and it is delusional in effect. See, in how you begin to function. See? And this is a product of Western binary thought, dualism. See, and this is based upon Aristotle's theory, of the binary. See, which, it's an interesting thing. All of our science is based on this. Our computer science is based upon this, binary. right or wrong. They carried on. You say, see, you're either with us or you're against us. Where does that come from? There is no middle ground. And that is delusional thinking. Delusional thinking produces samsara. Self against other. See? And if you don't practice, if you don't sit, if you don't meditate, you won't see this. And he said, our judgment of others and our attachment to cherished outcomes. I'm certainly nobody in this room is guilty of these crimes. See, judgment of others and our attachment to cherished outcomes. Did that sound like I was describing myself earlier? See, which are the origins of human pathologies. See, this, see, comes from our dualistic thinking. See, he says, the principal way to end suffering is to recognize that egocentric patterns of thinking directly cause our afflictions. This is a man who wrote this book shortly after his daughter died. This is a blind man, see, who started out with an handicap there, but rides a motorcycle. See? Goes on to say, Nagarjuna offers us an alternative four-logic system. See, the tetralemma. And it's just these four arguments. Let's not make it complicated, because I'm going to work with this book more. But see, again, he said, the pattern, oh, here, where is he? See, free, and he said, this system means a way of freeing ourselves from the mistaken sense of separation. And what are they? Just briefly. One, true. Two, not true. Three, both true and not true. And four, neither true nor not true. Now, this is a beautiful thing, and I don't think I have put the notes here, where if you look at this, this is a koan. See, now you can really get trapped in this. Can you want to think? Now let's make all of these comparisons. See, the dualistic is very simple. See, and it gets you caught, see, in all kinds of dualistic thought. See, Nansen kills the cat. Well, he either killed the cat, so it's very cut and dried. So people have to write 19 pages talks on it to prove that he killed the cat. See, black and white, dualistic thinking. And that's not the koan. The koan transcends. And he talks about that here. See, that with deep enough concentration, see, intuition blossoms. You transcend the realm of conceptual thinking. That he could see this means that he's actualized practice. This is the same thing with koans. See, and when you realize, see, a koan, very few people can actually do koans. And I have been an obstacle here because I've helped people. See, and I can again say, see, that was due to my immaturity as a teacher. See, I didn't hold people's toes to the fire. Now, some of you can attest that I have stopped doing that. But I can also tell you that Roshi never helped me with one koan. Never helped me with one koan. I wasn't interested, see, in receiving merit badges or going on stage and posturing. What I was interested in is the title of this book, The End of Suffering. In this mandala that I inhabit, I couldn't remember a time when I didn't suffer. See, from the earliest memories as a little child, suffering. See, a lot of suffering. I wanted to transcend. I was sick of sickness. You will not be able to actualize and appreciate the beauty of Buddha Dharma if you aren't willing to move beyond the limits of the egocentric mind and all of its posturing. See, what an amazing thing this Buddha Dharma is, and what an amazing thing our opportunity is. See, now, the author says, Nagarjuna's logic, see, rather than the dualistic realm that produces samsara, Nagarjuna's logic is unlimited wholeness. You will not be able to grasp his points unless you can transcend. the realm of egocentric thought. This is the same thing with true koan practice. Now, one O-chan master, when asked what a koan was, see, here is the perfect description of how you work with what Nagarjuna is teaching and you work with a koan. He said, we put you in a room, see, with no doors and no windows, and we tell you, get out. See, and that's such a beautiful description. See, and we have these old masters who have told us over and over and over again how to work with this. Torrey describes it beautifully. See, you have to free yourself, see, from the egocentric realm. The authors go on to say, we must become aware that our day-to-day reality is caused by how we use our minds. See, and that we must learn to see clearly that our egocentric habits of mind can be terminated. See, you have to see that clearly. And it's not an easy thing to see. And most people will fail in the endeavor. But you have unlimited future lifetimes to work on it. So whatever you do at this point will bring you closer and closer. See, and you will experience change. See, you will begin to experience comfort. We've had people who've come through here and in just a simple session or two have had changes in the way they experience their lives. Even if you're beginning to realize and see how we still keep ourselves trapped in our delusional thinking, it brings about an amazing change in our lives. If you apply it, trust. See, at this point, I'm not saying belief, trust. Because what else do you have? You have, do you see this? You only have yourself there. See, now the trust is the words that you've heard coming from what you think is the outside. There is no outside. These words come through the universal guru. Trust that they're not misleading. That you are in fact the way, and there is a pathway that will terminate, see, the delusional, see, painful realm of samsara. He says we have a direct choice to break these negative habits and regenerate new integral patterns of the mind that bring us into alignment and harmony with ourselves and with each other. Affirmation. New patterns of thought. Don't stay trapped over and over. See, fortunately, I got out of mine in a couple of days. See, but think of the traps that we have stayed in for years and years and years. The trap that I got caught in was from the infinite past. But it has been dormant. And in Skinnerian learning thing, spontaneous recovery, flared up again, caught me. Roshi said, we all tumble. That's not what's important. How quickly you come back to center. Suffering is instantaneously released. Hear this. Suffering is instantaneously released when we finally surrender me and mine. Suffering will not and cannot be released until that surrender is accomplished. You have to give it up. And that becomes painful because we have all these dirty little corners that we refused to sweep out. These little, special me. See, I've talked about this. This is what Yasutani talked about. See, this little mind chatter, we can play intellectually with that. It's the deep-seated junk we hold on to. I've even described my experience, see, with a killing dokusan by Maizumi Roshi. See, painful, see. It's, but you have to get rid of that. You have to give up your fantasies about how it's going to be. The necessary steps needed to accomplish this are the dissolving and surrender of egotism and dogmatism. See, so much for your religion. See? Two, the application of self-criticism and naked awareness. What is he calling naked awareness? I refer to this as non-distracted samadhi, naked awareness, meaning there's nothing there. There's nothing clothing it. See, this is the cultivation of samadhi. See, and finally, the incorporation of new non-dual logical forms. See, positive affirmation. See, remember the founder of the Tendai said, the one thing you can't do is you can't speak ill of the three treasures. You can't say, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. See? He said, this transformation requires honesty, fearlessness, and this is what's tough for some of you, and practice. See? Buddha's Eightfold Path is, this is him talking, Buddha's Eightfold Path is precisely this prescription of how to break the old egocentric mind barriers and cross into a new life of awakened mind. See? Grasping this reality is beyond the comprehension of those who look for release from pain and suffering outside themselves in a ritualistic or psychological saviors. There is nothing out there that's going to save you, and if anybody out there tells you they're going to save you, run, because they're simply manipulating you. He says, release comes from within through change in our perception of what is real and not real, and through seeing our relationships from the whole.